Good evening. It's good to see each one of you tonight. Would you please turn to 126, 126 in our song hymnals. Would you please sing this song? Please kneel with me in a word of prayer. Our most kind and loving Father, we desire to come before Thee now at this time as we've come to gather ourselves from the world and to hear Thy word spoken across this pulpit. I pray, Father, that You forgive us in where we have sinned before Thee, that You be with our brother as he stands before us, that he might impart Thy word according to the directing of Thy Spirit. And may our hearts be prepared to receive it, Father, in gladness. I pray, Father, that You be mindful of the many needs of Thy people wherever they may be. I do pray that You might be mindful of Joette and her great need at this time. Also pray for Diane and the many others, Father, who have been administered to and stand in great need of thy strength and care. Father, we're thankful for the blessings that we have received in life. We're thankful, Father, that Amy is doing well now. We pray, Lord, that You would continue with us as a people, and we do pray these things in the blessed name of Thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would, turn to 233, and I'll go ahead and read the announcements for the...
And boasteth great things, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, Joel could probably tell you that. Bobby and the others, you know, that work in the fire department. I mean, and any of us would know it. I mean, common sense. You know, unless there's like some gas has filled a thing and a spark and a big explosion. You know, most of our fires, they don't start with just instantly, here's this 40,000 acre forest fire. It starts with a small spark. A little ember. and then grows and continues to grow. And the same thing with our conversation. I could be mistaken, but it would be my guess there's probably not a single person here tonight that maybe you're not thinking at the moment, but if you think about it, there's probably everyone here tonight that's still kind of upset with something that someone said to them at some time in their life. Maybe recently, maybe a few weeks ago, a few months, maybe a few years. A small little spark. Probably everyone here tonight has been on the other end. I know I have, saying something maybe you shouldn't have. You don't even know why you said it. I mean, it doesn't necessarily even have to be, you know, something maybe abrasive or mean. Maybe it was something kind of, you know, ridiculous you're embarrassed of. Maybe it just wasn't clear. People misunderstood it and it's caused problems from that. But we've all done that. We've made mistakes. But with that, with those concerns and those emotions, like that small ember, that little fire, start divisions, contentions, misunderstandings, conflicts. And James continues, because he understood that all so well. Because he says, the tongue is a fire, a whirl of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. It's a pretty serious words here. And it is set on fire of hell. That word here, at the end of that verse, hell. It's the same word that Christ used in the 5th chapter of Matthew, where he said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." That word there, hell, is the same word that James is using. And it's the Greek word, when you look it up, it's the Greek word for, I believe it's pronounced, the place was Gehenna, which was a place in the valley of, I believe it's pronounced Hinnom, that was outside of Jerusalem, that everyone there would know well, but we may not. So I'm going to explain it to you. It was a spot where there had been in a previous time, when other rulers were there, and I'm not going to get a lot of detail, I just want you to understand the basics of it, that there was an idol place there where human sacrifices were made. And one of them, probably one of the more gruesome things that occurred there, there was this one idol, a statue, I'm not trying to get to describe it, but part of it had arms outstretched. And they would heat this thing until it was glowing, red hot, white hot, however hot they could get it. And they would place children in its arms, and they'd be burnt alive. Well, eventually, when that was overthrown, when that idol thrown down, their hatred, I don't know what other word to use, maybe it's not appropriate, but their disdain for that area was so great that it turned in to the dump for the area, basically, where all the rubbish was taken, all the garbage, all the debris, the dead animal carcasses, bodies of the human prisoners that no one would claim after they're executed or that were unknown, they were all dumped there. Attempt to clean it up. They would, you know, try to burn some of the stuff that would burn. Because of all the decaying materials, you know, there were gases there that kept the fires going continually. The stench from everything rotting and decaying, the smell from the gases and the smoke was horrible. Unbearable. the continual stench, the heat, it was humid, the smoke. And it's a description of that very location that Christ was using in those words and a few other places where He used that. And His most solemn warning about the consequences of sin. And the very same description that James is using when he talks about this problem that he's addressing. Christ says in the ninth chapter of Mark, describing a similar thing, and talks about the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And referring to the same circumstance, whereas one might expect with a dead body as it's consumed and decays, as it's talked, that's what it's talking about, the worm that consumes that rotting flesh, and then it too dies. The fire that burns its fuel, and once the fuel is exhausted, goes out. But in the description of hell, they said it's like that, but without end. It doesn't stop. It continues. The worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Unending torment. Continual. As James continues on, he's saying, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. You know, he can look out and see all these animals pulling carts for mankind, working the mills, grinding the meal, carrying water. They've all been tamed of mankind. He says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God. You notice he includes himself again still. I mean, he's putting himself in this. He's not above this. He's saying, therewith bless we God, even the Father. The very mouth, the very tongue we use to communicate with God. To thank Him for all the great things He's done. To ask for His attention in our lives. He says, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? You know, we like to be able to control our lives. We like to have some control over our destiny, of what's going to occur. We like to plan, we like to strive and try to direct where we're going. There's an example here by a bit and all in the mouth of a horse. The harness is placed upon him. We can control that and use it to help us. The engineering feats that were required to work ships like this, that we can direct them and guide them, and they're at our control. To control fires, like it talks about, you know, the physical fires. You know, we put in alarms in our homes. We have sprinkler systems, fire departments. That we can control these things. We go to gyms to work out, to stay in shape, that we can control, you know, the condition of our bodies, and we try to eat right. We take vitamins, we go to doctors, we want some control, we want things to be right in our lives. We have computers to help us, to assist us, to obtain information. We buy organizers, we plan, we structure. Because we want things just right in our lives. But with all that effort, how much effort do we put in controlling the tongue and what comes out of our mouth? And you may be sitting out there, maybe not, I apologize if you're not, but you know, you may be well thinking, you're looking over your life and thinking, well, you know, I haven't really, you know, I can't think of really horrible things. You know, I don't say anything really horrible. I mean, I don't curse. I can't think of, you know, really, you know, swearing at anyone or nothing, you know. I don't really... Try to think of all the conversations you've had with people, things that have happened at work, you know, what's gone on. But, you know, I've looked through here, And I think it's kind of our human nature to look at those things. You know, we look at all these problems he can cause, you know, and I've mentioned, you know, divisions and saying things wrong to people and stuff. But I look through here, and I can't find it. I mean, if you can find it, raise your hand, point it out to me. But nowhere in here can I find, I'm looking at all these verses even now, where this says this applies just strictly to in public or when you're talking to others or when you're being heard. It's continual. It's when you're by yourself. And I think that's the time sometimes where we have to start and look at the most, when we think no one's hearing us and we're expressing our own inner thoughts. We're talking to ourselves and what's coming out of our mouth. I think perhaps that's probably the most true indicator, more than anything that we can analyze, when we look how we talk to other people, co-workers, brothers and sisters in the gospel or family. But how do we talk to ourselves when we're rolling thoughts through that head? When we're by ourselves, you're working away, and I know there's people have been building houses and stuff, and I'm not saying this happened to you, but you know, what comes out of your mouth when that hammer hits the thumb? You know? When something's going wrong, you're driving down the freeway by yourself, and suddenly someone cuts you off, what comes out of your mouth? You hear or see something you don't like, wherever it is, just as you're going about life, you see or hear about it on the television. Maybe you're still saying, you know, maybe it's not really applicable, but think about this. Maybe what's coming out of your mouth isn't profane, it isn't vulgar. But what if it carries the same meaning? What if it carries the same meaning? We've all heard the words that are just totally unacceptable. Probably wouldn't come out of our mouth. But if you just substitute a different word for the same meaning, are you not really in the same situation? If you just change the word, but it's still expressing that same thought, that same emotion, that same attitude, that same tone, and that same intent, has anything really changed? What you've done is you've changed the word to appease your mind, your morals, so that your tongue can keep doing the very same thing that it wants to do and then James is talking about. Well, I can't stop the tongue, so I'll just change what's coming out, but it means the same thing. And tonight, that's what I'd like to focus on. I'd like you to look at and think about. I mean, that stuff that's always coming out of our mouth, you know, and we're always going, you've seen it, two people. I mean, I've done it, you know, probably everyone else has. I mean, you're in maybe some type of disagreement with someone, you know, maybe even an argument, you know, and you finally work it out, you know. I mean, maybe you're not a completely happy and they're not completely happy, you know, but, you know, something you can work with and you have reached the agreement. It's done. It's over. It's taken care of. And while you're walking away, the next day we were talking to someone, well, yeah, I agreed with that, but, you know, the mouth's got to keep going. The tongue, you know. I mean, it's just this little muscle, you know. I mean, this little flap of flesh in the mouth. And it does so much. It's like that little rudder on the ship. It's just this little thing, but it controls everything. It guides and it directs. I'm going to go to this room again. I'll be back. You know, some people, they sit this stuff out here to, you know, worry you all night. So you didn't even know it was here, so you didn't have to stress over it. You probably know what I'm going to say. I mean, I've got this glass here. And you can probably look, you know what I'm going to say. I mean, you've heard that thing about the optimist and the pessimist. You know, you can look at it. Is it half empty or is it half full? And that's what's going on tonight. You can look at this. It's either half empty or half full, the optimist or the pessimist. You can look at this and think all the things that I shouldn't do, all the things that are wrong, all the mistakes I've made, and the things that, you know, I know I shouldn't have done. I can't do this. I shouldn't have said that. And he's right. You know, I can't, you know, this kind of this. But that's not what I'm trying to say, and that's not what James was trying to say. This isn't about, you know, don't and mistake and you're wrong and you're horrible and you're awful and don't do that again. These are words that have been penned about how to obtain. That's what James was saying, that if you can do this, you will be a perfect man. You will be mature. You will be complete if you try to make this instruction your focus in your life. Because if you can control your tongue, you can control everything else about your life. It is perhaps the hardest thing for us to control, and I'm not even going to try to figure out why. Perhaps because it's so instantaneous. It's connected. You know, it's how we express what we're thinking and what's happening in our minds. And other things where we have to make decisions or we're put in a situation, we have to weigh things, it takes a little bit more time, and maybe we give it a little bit more thought. But the tongue's connected directly to what we're thinking, and the thoughts are instantaneous, and it expresses that. Because James continued, and he said, "Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation. Let him demonstrate with the words of his mouth his works with meekness of wisdom." But, and this here, he wants you to realize what's happening. He says, "But if you have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." Don't try to cover it up. Acknowledge what it is. It says, "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace." If you can control your tongue, you can control your anger. If you can control your tongue, you can control your tendency to yield to temptation. If you can control your tongue, you can control your lusts, your greeds, your envies, the gossip, all of that. James is saying the hardest thing to do is to control the tongue. And if you master that, all the rest is easy. Because like that ship, all the rest, all its capabilities are for naught if you can't direct where it's going. But we, you know, we live here in the desert. And like I talked about at the beginning, you know, we saw those clouds that are out there. I don't know if it's raining now. It's supposed to rain. Probably will. I don't know the amounts. What's happened in the past, you know, the rains come in and it rains and it's heavy. Streets flood. The washes fill up. Maybe you even see it yourself, but you know, you turn the news on and there's some guy out in the middle of a wash in his vehicle that, you know, the fire department and the sheriff and whoever else is out there trying to get him out. And, you know, well, I didn't think it was that deep. You know, it didn't look that deep. Well, tonight, I'm going to tell you right up front. These words of James are deep. You aren't going to be able just to jump out there in the middle and expect to succeed. You're going to be like that vehicle stranded out there. But I'm convinced that our brother James, when he penned these words, as you look through the scriptures, you know, he didn't write a lot. But I'm convinced by reading through here, as you read through the rest of the chapter, he gave great thought to those things that he was going to record. And he may not have addressed every little problem, every little trial, every little concern you're going to have in your life and how to deal with that. But he put a great deal of effort and I'm sure a great deal of prayer in some very few pertinent things that could make the greatest effect in your life, that could make an effect in my life. And he said, this is it. If you work at this, the other things will fall into place. But it requires honesty. You have to look at it, just like I said, it's not just what other people hear you say or the effects that it causes other people, but look at yourself when you're by yourself. Because if you can control your tongue when you're by yourself and you think no one's hearing you, you'll never have a problem controlling it when you're with others. And if you can control your tongue when you're with others, you don't have any problem controlling. Well, I shouldn't say that, maybe I shouldn't say you won't have trouble. I think it's something you always have to work at. But it's a discipline. And if you can do that, you can do the others. If you can accomplish this, you know you can accomplish all the other things. And you'll become, as James was saying, complete, mature in your gospel growth, in your spirituality, in your desires to serve God and represent Him in all your doings. You think about that? I think sometimes we forget about it, you know. That all our doings, we should be representatives of God. Every word that comes out of our mouth should have thought how the Lord wants to handle this situation, and what we communicate and what we do should demonstrate that. A few verses, a few words, but it carries a lot. But like I said, you know, you can look at this glass, and it's either half empty or it's half full. It's either all horrible, awful, I can't do this, I can't do that, I shouldn't do that. Or like James said, this is a game plan, a blueprint, an instruction, something to work at. No different than we work at. When I was first trying to go to the gym and started to work, not that I'm this great muscle man, but I mean, I'm a whole lot better shape now, and I can do a lot more than I could then, but I didn't do it all at once. I started a little bit at a time. And I worked at it. Ships like that weren't built right off the bat. When James was here, he had no concept of anything like that. He was talking about these boats going across those lakes and stuff there. But nonetheless, they had a rudder. And as the ships got bigger, it took more to control them. And they started putting ropes and pulleys. And pretty soon, they became massive. And they had hydraulics and gears because mankind knew that with the responsibility of the greater requirement, it took more effort. And brothers and sisters, that's where we're at. With the greater responsibility, and it takes more effort. Just like James acknowledged in the beginning, he said, my brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater judgment. With that responsibility, and it doesn't mean just stand. He was talking, of course, about his role in the ministry, but any member here that's a representative that believes there to be a part of the body of Christ and that you're representing your Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father in all your doings, it takes more effort. Because we aren't, when we take upon ourselves the name of Christ, we aren't out there in a little canoe anymore with a little board. We've taken more upon us. We're the great ships that require more effort, more thought, designing and engineering to come up with the hydraulics to work that can turn 30,000 tons. Because that's where we're at. The greater responsibility. But it's possible. And the rewards are there. In your own personal life, because when you can do that, when you can discipline yourself And something as difficult as this, you can discipline yourself in every matter. And as James closed the chapter, he said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. I appreciate you coming tonight. Let's turn to 361 for our closing song. 361. Please be mindful of the announcements. Would you please rise as we sing this song? Our most kind and loving Father, we come to the end of this day thanking you for the many blessings of life. I ask and pray that you would watch over us now throughout this week and keep us safe. Keep us, Father, from the evil of each day. And I pray that you return us back here safely again, that we might be able to sing songs and praises unto thee and to learn more of thy ways and to honor thee in thy name. Now, Father, we do thank you and we pray these things in the blessed name of thy Son, even Jesus. Amen.